And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March the 5th, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 8. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
I'm Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
Hi, RJ.
All right, don't start now.
Why not? It's fun.
Yeah, but you'll get stuck in that voice for the entire...
Totally will. I will do that, exactly.
And you do this for a living, remember?
I know. Well, we did it one time. We got into like a Russian accent, I think, which not really good to do now.
No, you did. You'll see. You did old man Russia. Those some of those.
Well,
you
no,
did
the morning show we did it with a Russian accent, and we just could not stop.
Yep.
It just every time we would speak, we'd either end the sentence that way or start it that way. It just rolled right into it without even thinking about it. But anyway. Mm-hmm. Won't be doing that anymore. For some time, anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can also find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, and you can search for us in-game chat up there. You can go to our website, and you can just go to it directly. But you'll find us there. You can watch us live while we broadcast. You can join in the conversation. We've got people in the chat room now. I'll do a roll call. I'll try to remember to do a roll call of the chat room later. I've kind of slacked on that for a while. And our Discord is up and running, and you can join us in Discord. Josh has already said that he can't join us today, but he does want us to know... And let me go here, and that's the wrong mouse. Let me go here and find it. He did want us to know that he is sitting at level 110 with 75 hours into Elden Ring at the moment. So we also have somebody. You know what? I got to remember what his name was. His name's Violent on Discord, but I've known him for a long time from just previous websites that we've talked to and everything else. Anyway, he got a Steam Deck, and so I was hoping he would pop into the chat room there or the Discord and at least tell us a little bit about what he's done. He hasn't done much with it yet. I think he just got it yesterday.
Yeah.
So he hasn't done very much with it, and so. He may join us. He wasn't sure that he'd be around at this particular time to give us an assessment of it. We do know, however, at least something that I say pertains to me, but was one of the driving factors for me to get it is it's Portable Destiny on PC. I mean, I know I could somewhat have a Portable Destiny experience using like Microsoft's cloud thing or whatever. It's not the best. But this could be. However, we have found out that Destiny does not run on the Steam Deck.
At all or not well?
It does not run.
Okay.
And if you try to find a workaround to make it happen, you risk getting a ban from Bungie.
Mm.
And I don't think it has anything to do with like, hey, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing with the Steam Deck. We're going to ban you. I think it's because you do actually have to figure out a way to bypass their... cheat software that they have inside the game that recognizes when people are doing something they shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And alerts the developers, hey, this account is not working the way it should. You might want to look into it. People who try to circumnavigate that to get Destiny 2 to work on a Steam Deck aren't necessarily doing it for any other reason than to have to Portable Destiny, not trying to cheat or do anything wrong. It's just that in order for them to make that work, they would have to somehow bypass, and it's not called cheat software, I don't know what it's called again, but it's some kind of security software that makes sure people aren't gaming the system of what they've got in place. They don't really care about the PvE stuff, it's that PvP type of stuff that they're worried about. And so that's the problem. It's called BattleEye is the name of the software.
Okay.
And that is the holdback on this. They may eventually find a workaround for it, but they don't have one right now. And you risk being banned if you try to make it work on a Steam Deck. So that's what we know so far. What does he got? I was looking for Dark Souls book to give to someone. Found this box of wonderful. Look at that. SWAT 4. Man. Hang on. Look at this. Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Gran Turismo 3. SWAT 4. I still have my box copy of SWAT 4 on my shelf. That was a fun little game we got to play. That was Nabokov. He's in the Discord. He's in our Discord channel. He threw up some pictures. That's it's fun to do with Discord, man. That's how Discord works. So, yeah, if you would like to join us in Discord, go to our website. Scroll all the way to the bottom. Click it. There's a link there. You'll be able to join. Bama Brian joined just the other day in there. And so then you can join in our little chat section there, and we'll put you on the air, and you can talk to us. It's kind of like calling in, but you don't have to be on the phone. That's all. Let's get started with what we have played. RJ, I'm going to start with you because I want to find out, did you get, I'll ask two questions.
Okay.
Did you play Elden Ring?
No.
Did you play Hellblade?
Yes.
Okay. Wendy's attention has been triggered.
Yeah, I made some progress in that.
Good.
We got to the point where, I'm pretty sure I'm past the spoiler territory mark for everybody else listening, right?
I mean, it's been out for a long time.
Yeah, so, okay. I'm just going to go
and I can't remember really what spoiler you'd be telling me about.
Well,
you finish? You didn't finish it.
I just made some progress in the thing.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I took out Valkraven,
the second of the two first bosses.
You have to go through to make your way across
just
the bridge.
Just to get basically into the game.
So I got past that.
It's odd that is considered a tutorial. In most games, those two boss fights would be considered the tutorial because they are at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing tutorial about them, really.
No, my tutorial was hitting the start button and seeing what does what. That's
exactly.
That's your tutorial. So that's all you get. So bought two bosses, and I started making my way across the bridge. Then some more story elements happened, and I eventually got to the point where my sword is broken.
Right.
So now I'm doing these spirit walks in this area to get my new blade from this other area. So I've gotten the blade finally. Got that.
So you went into the tree.
And pulled the blade out.
Yeah.
Pulled the blade out. Now I'm making my way across this area that's full of shadow and stay in the light as much as possible. And that's where I stopped right now.
Because
I had a pathway. I'm looking at, there's a pathway straight ahead, got shadow all in it. And then there's a path to my left that's got shadow all the way in it. So I'm just going to have to navigate.
I had to look something up on that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was lost. Mm-hmm. I had gone through wherever, and I couldn't find another path. And eventually I was able to, and I used some maps or some walkthroughs that said you need to turn at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
There's not really any sort of cheating that you could do online to understand this game.
No, it's just like
outside of
where you're supposed to go. You have
knowing
to
where to go. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So, yeah, I see where you're at. You're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting close to the end.
Already,
uh-huh.
but then you did say it was a short game.
It's not very long.
Not very long at all. So, like I said, the battle system is real simple. I mean, despite this brief layoff I had, it was still pretty easy, very simple, very easy to get through. Walking through that area before you meet your I forget the name of the place, but it was the one with all the corpses and it's red everywhere. It looks like you're walking through hell.
Yeah. You do that a hell walk, right?
So the battles were
the one where the arms are reaching out.
Yeah, all the corpses are writhing in pain and everything's reaching out and everything like that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it was really cool.
So getting through the battles in that was pretty tough, but, you know, it got to the point where, you know, it was very easy to get through when you realize, oh, melee breaks every guard that any enemy has.
Mm-hmm.
So when in doubt, just melee, run up and kick them, and the shield's gone.
Yep.
Now you can
run
just
up and kick
away.
Them.
And that's all it is. So getting through the battles, it was a bunch of battles, but it wasn't anything too difficult, too hard to get through. But outside of that, getting lost really is the only real difficulty I have playing this game because it happens a lot. There's a lot of mazes everywhere, and, of course, having to backtrack from the boss battle back to the area that you went to progress in the next level.
Yeah.
So that makes you get lost all the time. So going through those spirit walks and getting lost in that shadowed corridor, that's going to happen plenty of times, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's been multiple times when I've been lost and trying to work my way through the maze. And it was that's what makes the game longer than it really should be. Navigating mazes in the game.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It was extended for me because of getting lost in the dark area there, or getting lost in those first two trials.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, the second one I had no problem, which was the odd one, but it was one you would think you would get lost at because it had those portals that would change your view.
Yeah, the illusion, yeah.
The illusion portals, I guess you could call them.
Certus Fire and Valcraven is illusions.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the way those levels were set up, they were much bigger than the level that I had been through with the Fire God. With Surt. And so I thought, well, God, navigating this one to get back is going to be real tough.
Mm-hmm.
Breeze compared to what I went through with Surt. So.
Yeah, and something else that got me, an element of being a tutorial, because I thought when I was done with Valcraven, I wouldn't have to deal with illusions anymore. And that wasn't the case.
Mm-mm.
There's still illusions present. Mm-hmm. After I've taken this dude out, I've still got illusions to deal with in this game.
Because it's all in your head.
So, yeah.
you didn't get rid of what's in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of that being is that when I got into... So, I finished those two bosses there, got into the next room, and I think immediately a fight breaks out. And, of course, I went ahead and finished that. But once that fight's over with, I got stuck in that room, too. It took me a little bit to figure out where to go.
Yeah.
In that room, even after opening up the door that was in front of me, I was still able to do that, but it was still difficult for me to be like, I know I need to match up symbols here, but I couldn't figure out how to get up to that second floor in order to get a better perspective to get those symbols matched up. I finally did. It took a while.
Yeah.
But those two, that first area, that first section was, I don't want to call it one of the most difficult sections, but it was...
I want to say tedious.
Yeah.
It was a tedious effort going through that. Nothing difficult, but just annoying to go through.
Yeah.
But you want to push on and go through. It's a story game, so you want to get to the end. So, you got to suffer through this to get to the end. So,
plus, I also...
gives you motivation to keep going.
I deviated to find those rune stones so I could get more story.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed the rune, the little circle that tells you, because it kind of tells you, oh, you found them in this section, but you're missing one in this section.
Yeah, it'll let you know when you miss something. And I've missed a bunch, but I wanted to get through the story. So it'll probably be something backtracked or something or whatever and seeing it later on. But I do like the way that, I think, what was his name, Druth, tells a story in each one you do.
Yeah.
What was that one? He's talked about something turned into a cow. That's right, a cow. I bet you didn't expect that, did you?
Yep. Nope. No, I loved those to the point that I think I went on YouTube and found just the entire, just those to listen to him talk, you know. And he's giving a little bit of backstory about your character, but mostly it is Norse mythology that they're just talking about, you know.
Yeah.
They're talking about the different gods of Norse mythology.
Yeah, some names. Some names I recognize, Odin, Ymir, things like that. I recognize those names from stories and whatnot I've read.
Most of them I recognize from God of War, the most recent God of War that took place in, you know, doing Norse mythology.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had heard of all of these characters.
Yeah, because it was a change from Greek to Norse at that point. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It started with, and then it's like, well, we've kind of bled the Greek mythology dry here.
Literally.
Let's move on to another one. No kidding.
We've killed them all, so we're going to have to change. Go to some other
lot of blood
mythology. Yeah,
yeah. And so they went to Norse, which is fine. I'm totally okay with that. Totally okay with it.
Yeah.
So what else did you play?
I did a little more progress in Warframe as well. I finally got a companion, a Kubro, basically a big hunting dog.
Okay.
Really. Just goes on missions and basically takes out enemies for you. Sometimes it'll open crates for you or find items and bring them to you. All types of things like that. And there's ways you can, and like any weapon or any apparatus or gear that you have, you can give him upgrades and armor, weapons and abilities and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun having her. They did say it was a female Kubro that I've got. Taking her along on missions and whatnot and making sure I can level her up as quick as possible. Also, I finally booted up Destiny 2 after a 78 gig download of updates that I had to do in that thing. So it took a minute. So you know how it is when you haven't played a game in a very long time, you have to go back and refresh your memory and seeing how the game actually works.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that I had to go through that and all the new stuff that they put in there since I last played. So they had the fragments and the upgrades to your void abilities and things like that. Void in particular. So is this the first thing, or are they going to do the same thing for Ark and Saul in this game? Because, like I said, it specifically said void element and didn't say anything about the other elements.
Yeah, they've already done a solar revitalization.
Okay.
They did a solar 3.0, I think is what it was, where they kind of did a lot of tweaking on solar and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And now they're doing it with void 3.0. And they'll do it I remember some roadmap that they made or some big long thing that they published probably about a year or 2 years ago, mm-hmm. which was talking about here's our plans of not only what we're doing with expansions, but what we're going to be moving into with the way we handle weapons and stuff. Some of that came to pass. Some of it came to pass and then came and went.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, that didn't work. So, but they did talk about the fact that they were going to revamp all the elements.
Yeah.
And they had already done that with solar. And they may go back and do solar again, I believe, mm-hmm. because of, and I really haven't looked at it, but I know in the void section, it looks a lot like what stasis looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're basically taking the way your stasis screen, and you can pick all the different elements and all these different mm-hmm. ways that your powers act and react and everything else. They're doing that with void, and I think they'll also do it with solar on like a just an aesthetic level, because I think they're already there with it. But and then Ark, which hasn't seen any love whatsoever,
mm-hmm. okay.
So they'll get to that point as well. But yeah, that is something. Right now, seemingly this season. Mm-hmm. Is while they call it Season of the Risen, I think is what it is.
They just call it 16.
Yeah, it's mostly Season of the Void because everything is so void heavy with the new void stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of mods, artifact mods, the seasonal mods, the ones mm-hmm. that only show up every so season or no, that are based in a void.
Mm-hmm.
Class type thing. Okay. So really, meta hadn't been worked out just yet, but it's getting there.
So as I was playing the game, you know, I went to the Cosmodrome area, mm-hmm. you know, and just started, you know, goofing around, you know, doing ridiculous things like throwing knives at tanks, stuff like that, you know, just making sure all the buttons did whatever, getting refamiliarizing myself with the game. And I noticed that as I was playing, I was like, oh, it's been a long time since I've reloaded my weapon. You see how many bullets I've gotten. I'm like, wait.
It's infinite. Yeah.
They infinite got rid bullets.
Of, they got rid of primary ammo.
Yeah. So I didn't know that. So I'm just running around with infinite ammo on my primary, my secondary. Mm-hmm. Not on the heavy, of course.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous at that point. But yeah, I didn't. It took me a while to notice that I didn't have to look for bullets for my main weapons anymore.
Yeah, well, it took them long enough to realize that we need to stop limiting their ammo. Because there are times when you would just sit there and run out. You know, it wasn't what you needed wasn't dropping from, you know, the enemies or something like that. You would sit there and run out.
Okay, I've never had that issue. I mean, I'm like.
Well, there is a timer on ammo, but you have to be completely out of ammo for the most part. If you run completely out of ammo, all three of your guns are dry. Mm-hmm. There's a certain amount of time where boom, it'll click and boom, you'll get restocked.
Okay, is this happening?
Not on the heavy. You'll get restocked with a little bit of special and then a full, you know, full primary. Used to be.
Okay. Has this ever happened to you? This happens like on strikes or raids or anything like that? I haven't done that much because, like I said, I've never had an issue where I've like run completely out of ammo on everything because I'm always on the hunt and lookout for it.
It didn't happen so much in just regular play. It would happen in a raid, it would happen in a dungeon or at a Grandmaster Nightfall or something like that, where it's mm-hmm. real tight. It would happen. You would run out of every single aspect of ammo that you have, especially if you switched guns. Because you remember, if you switched guns, you lost. Like if I have a rocket launcher that has seven rockets ready to go, you know? It fires one rocket at a time, and I got seven in my inventory. If I switch over and want to move over to a sword, that ammo gets chopped, you know? That ammo cuts and either goes away completely or you get down to, like, one strike or something like that.
Yeah, it's, so, like, it's like if you change your polarity on your...
But that happened on every single weapon you had. So if you wanted to switch, if some reason you loaded into something and said, I brought the wrong weapons, let me switch out. Well, already you're going to take a hit on your special... your heavy, and your primary, depending on which one you check, you switch out. Even if you switch out all three, you're going to take a hit on that. And so, it, kind of a penalty. But they don't do that anymore. So, primary, just they thought, infinite ammo, good to go.
Okay.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But, yeah, after going through all that, you know, doing a few public events, trying to remember how to make them heroic. So, I had a few. Cause the ones that were really solid to me was Venus. Where I think I'd be Sloan. Sloan was the contact.
That was Titan, wasn't it?
Titan, Sloan, or Titan or Venus or whatever.
I think Sloan
was the ocean planet.
Sloan was Titan, yeah.
Okay, Sloan, yeah. That's the area I was in the most before that went away. So that one I knew by heart how to make things heroic there. But all the other places, it took me a minute to remember. Like I was on Nessus and the Cabal mission. And I was trying to remember
the
drill. I'm like, there's something we had to do here to make it heroic. And then it hit me. Oh, I got to destroy this this carrier over on the left side of the screen.
Right,
I have to destroy that before we can make it heroic. And it took me a minute to remember things like that.
Were you with a group? I mean, were there people there?
There was some folks there, about two or three folks there.
Good.
Got to the party late, but still, we got there and wiped it out real quick.
Cool.
So then I got to the point where I was trying to remember what can I update and what's stuck. You know, some things I can't upgrade anymore.
Right.
So
probably every single weapon you have when you logged in are up to par with what you're doing, but as you start to grow, they're not growing with you because those are sunsetted weapons, I imagine.
So, there's a lot of them that says legacy item. And it said...
Well, especially as far as how long it's been since you've joined in there, you're probably looking at legacy item.
Yeah. Still works. still. My main weapon is the Song of Justice, a scout rifle. And I think it said the max was like level 1060.
Right.
But it said 1350.
Yeah, but it can't go any higher than that.
But it can't go any higher than that.
Nope.
And then it said something about the max at 1650, but you know, I can't update the thing anymore. And then I looked at my chest armor. Except the helmet. I'm sorry. No, it's just chest armor because I picked up another version of the same helmet, but it says it's like upgradable, but the one I had before wasn't. And then my chest armor, which is the Terra Concord plate, which I got from Titan, it can't be updated. But there's a way to find another version of it.
Is there? I don't know.
While, you know, finding stuff out there, because I still find old rare types of armor and equipment. If I could find that again, because it's available as a pickup from one of the Engrams. Like it's available as a pickup, so if I can find that and start upgrading it, maybe I can keep my same attire. If not, I'll just have to look for new pieces to put together.
Yeah, I don't really hold on to armor too much. I mean, I do once I masterwork it and it's got good stats. Obviously, I'll try and hold on to it. Outside of exotics, I don't really worry too much with armor, especially now that you can use the transmog system to make it look like whatever you want. But if it's got stats you want, then you can keep that and then change the look of it. So. It all just depends, and it just goes with whatever you feel comfortable running.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get with you on that, but the transmog thing or whatever.
I'm not too familiar with it myself, but I can show you around.
You know more than me, so we can go that route. But yeah, because I've gotten used to this look on my Titan since ever, actually. So when I had it set, it was locked. I mean, Lion Rampart legs, the Terra Conquer plate, the Wildwood gauntlets, and the Carrick helmet. That's a set. And the Wildwood Mark for the Titan. That's it.
Do you have Discord on your phone?
Doubt it.
Oh, okay.
But I can probably get an app or whatever.
Well, I was trying to think of how you and I can play together and also...
Yeah, it's crossplay and everything, right?
Talk
to
each other. And I figure, you know, you just jump into Discord through your phone with, like, you know, you can plug in a
Bluetooth or something or whatever.
You can Bluetooth anything you need to. Just Bluetooth mm-hmm. to your phone, go into Discord, and then we can chat while we also play because mm-hmm. we have crossplay now. So I can play with you on your PlayStation mm-hmm. while I'm on PC. So, mm-hmm. in fact, we've got the guys, a lot of the guys from the clan. I'm going to switch. Can you see the screen behind you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to switch over and I can show you. They're all in there right now doing the raid.
Mm-hmm.
It is the day one raid.
Yeah, I kept seeing that term in the text that popped up, anteater.
Yeah, and that's they're having connection issues today. And that is one of their code words for certain that when you get an anteater code, you can just type in anteater. That's the error code you got. They know mm-hmm. what that code is. Mm-hmm. And they're all based on there's anteater, there's guitar, there's I don't know. There's all sorts of different.
Okay, I thought it was something else. Someone mentioned something about a badge, getting an anteater badge.
Oh,
or something
well,
like
yeah,
that,
because so. Everybody is succumbing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody was starting this raid, and the first encounter of the raid, it's not. I wouldn't even consider it's the first encounter of the raid. It doesn't seem that way because
mm-hmm.
It's the first thing you run into as soon as you load in, which is basically just grunt stuff you got to kill just to move forward.
Right.
And it kept kicking them to orbit because of the anteater code. It couldn't keep the connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just happening to them. It was happening to a ton of people. In mm-hmm. fact, I went to their Twitter just a minute ago and was looking at their – they have a Bungie Help Twitter.
Yeah.
2 hours ago, we are currently investigating a rise in error codes and server instability.
Mm-hmm.
Players who do not own a Destiny 2 season or expansion will begin to see a sign-on queue. So they're taking the free-to-play guys and they're putting them in a queue, while everybody who owns the seasons or the expansions are being let in
mm-hmm.
so that they can run this race,
mm-hmm.
Which started at 11 a.m. I got an update. Well, I didn't get an update, but let's see. Where is it at? Raid discussion. There's a team somewhere who is on the final encounter of the raid. It seems like a doozy, but also pretty okay. Wild mechanics at play throughout the entire thing. So, yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. So, it's raid day.
Yeah.
And everybody's running. You got 24 hours to run it on the first day to, claim that you beat it on the first day if you want to do that. I don't care. I'm not interested in that.
Yeah, I've still got a few... expansions. I got two expand. I got to get Beyond Light and Witch Queen.
Yeah.
So I've got up to that point.
I am
so
not,
a lot of stuff I couldn't get into because it said you have to have this and that, mm-hmm. and I just don't have it yet. So
yeah, I'm not raid ready yet. So yeah,
full 1560 or whatever.
I am 1526 or so. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to see if they had any kind of an update on the world's first winners. Nothing just yet. So, we need to take a break. It's already halfway done with the hour here. When we come back, we'll talk about what Wendy played. And we'll talk about what I played. Which we just talked about what I played. Except for Uncharted 4, I suppose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait, didn't I play something on the Xbox? What did I play? What did I pull down and play? I thought I downloaded something.
You did.
Indie title? Genre?
No. Oh, it was Contrast. I already talked about that. No. We talked about that last week. Yeah. I tried playing Contrast.
That's a little...
Yeah. Wonky. I did go back in there, though, and download... Man, what else? They added something else this week, and I was like, ooh, I need to remember to go in there and download that, because they had added it. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, Far. It was Far, Changing Tides.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about all of that. And here is music from a game that recently released, Elix 2, the sequel to Elix, I guess. E-L-E-X is what it is. Yeah, no Horizon, no Elden Ring. Well, he's got Elden. RJ has Elden Ring. He just hasn't played it yet.
Yeah, because I was trying to get through Senua's Sacrifice. But according to you, I'm not that far from the end, so
you're really not.
So I'll be able to play.
Assuming you don't get lost.
But I'll be able to play Elden Ring sometime this week.
You think we'll? Yeah, okay.
I should be able to play Elden Ring.
We'll be hearing about Elden Ring from you next week.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right. I never make those promises because I never know. I would love to play. We'll talk about it. I'm sorry, Thar. We'll talk about both of those games. Not that we played them, but Yeah, we'll talk about that. Here's music from Elix 2. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Crowns Alpha. Or is it Alpha Wild? I don't know. It's the battle theme is what it says. Or maybe it's Wild Battle Theme. Should do a better job of titling these things. But yeah, that's what that's from. Can't tell you what system that was on. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Wendy, what did you play?
I played Animal Crossing.
Of course.
Surprise. And I went in and I disabled
the beautification thing?
I certainly did. Good. Found it and I turned that little thing off. And all is well on the island. And I've been playing that. And I also started playing Far.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yes. On the Switch. Mm-hmm. Not the second one.
It's the first one.
Yeah, I'm...
The first game was on sale when the second game launched this week.
Okay, yeah.
And so the first game was on sale for like $3 on the Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, okay, fine, I'll get that.
Yeah.
And the sequel is on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I put on there. So I haven't played that yet. And did you go back to XCOM at all, or did you try any more of XCOM?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't.
Anything else?
No. Nope. That's it.
Yeah, I love those little $3, $2, $4
games.
You
know, they either come up on, I think I catch them more on Slick Deals than I have through the Wario account on mm-hmm. Twitter. I found them on Slick Deals. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that looks, yeah. Because the thing was regularly being sold for like $15, and it was mm-hmm. on sale for $3. I was like, that's worth picking up.
Yeah.
You know? $3 is now, but $3 is the new $5. Well, I used to look at a game, and I'm like, $5? Sure.
Yeah.
Now I look at a game like, $5?
Nah. Maybe.
Make it $3 and we'll talk. Because, yeah. Well, I picked what it was. So late, what I got, XCOM 2 for like $3 mm-hmm. on Switch. The Far thing for $3 on Switch. And then in Vampire Survivors on PC, I picked up for $3. It looks every bit of a $3 game as you would ever think Vampire mm-hmm. Survivors does.
Yeah.
But the gameplay that you get out of it is so much more than just what $3 is worth.
It's the fun that you're having playing the game.
Yeah.
I mean, look at those games in the 80s. You know, they weren't the most visually satisfying, but you had fun mm-hmm. playing those things. So, yeah, it doesn't have to look pretty to be a fun experience.
Yeah.
I like a lot of Papers, Please, Gunpoint, all those little titles, you know. Heck, the retro look is coming back in, and that hasn't stopped it.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Oh, I played some more Uncharted 4. Mm-hmm. I think I'm on chapter 20 of Uncharted 4. Yeah. We just started chapter 20, and I think there's only 22 chapters, so we're getting mm-hmm. close.
Yeah.
We're getting very close to the end of that. And I don't know what we'll move on to. I have a few ideas of what we'll move on to after that. Maybe we'll do a vote. Maybe we'll put something up on Twitter and do a vote. What's the next game that Wendy should experience? Because I took her through the entire Uncharted series.
Mm-hmm.
And what was before that? Well, you watched me play Hellblade.
Yeah.
A couple others. So I don't know what series to go. I'm
Tomb Raider?
Is
that too close to Uncharted, really?
The new reboots of Tomb Raider? That's a possibility, except I only own those on PC.
Oh, okay.
So I'm thinking more console-type stuff. What I'm thinking of, a few that I have in mind, and I want to go back and play... So Wolf Among Us, because it's getting a sequel.
That's right. Yeah.
So I kind of want to go back and do that myself and also get her into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another series that she would like would be Bioshock. Bioshock 1, 2, and Infinite.
Yeah.
I think...
I can already say yes.
I don't think I played one, but I really did get into two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Bioshock Infinite was okay, but two had stuck out for me.
Two had that DLC, Minerva's Den, mm-hmm. I think is what it was, that was really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, compared to to the rest of that. Some good DLC for a game. Yeah, I know. There's old games there as well. She hasn't played any of the Half-Life games. I think I do have the orange box to go back to. Especially Portal. I think she would have more fun playing Portal probably than watching somebody play it. But you know, but this is just something where we sit there and play a game.
Yeah.
And she gets the story out of it. Really, it works well in the Uncharted series because the way that those things are made to kind of have that cinematic feel.
Yeah.
So it gives you... And just going back through 4, man, and seeing, listening to the... watching the dialogue, the facial animations, the story beats, the music that they put in with it, there's just some really, really good moments... of not like action or not big set pieces, just some really good character development that they did with that, especially between Nathan and Elena. Really, really good stuff that they did there. And the more that I play through that, and I know I'm getting close to the end and I'm looking forward to getting close to the end because, I mean, 4 games of Uncharted, I'm about done. But at the same time, I'm a little sad about it, you know?
Yeah.
It reminded me of when I originally played it, thinking like, oh, man, it's almost over. I'm going to miss this, you know? Because they're probably done with that franchise. Yeah. And I'm happy about that, especially the way, 4 ends. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's like some series you like play and you're like a good place to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to keep milking it for... all it's worth, and then it gets diluted, and it's just nothing like what it used to be. Yeah.
Mist would bore her to death. watching someone else play Mist would bore me to death. Mist is not a good passenger game. You know what I'm saying? Mist is not a good game to just sit there and watch somebody else play.
Did you like detective film noir?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Did you ever play L.A. Noir?
No.
No. No, but I do have that, so that's another good one to think about.
Okay. A good story-based thing, and
the problem I had, I loved the setting because it's noir, but it did a lot of what Walking Dead was trying to do to make you feel like you had a choice, like you had choices that matter. It was, I want to say it was more like Mass Effect's dialogue selections, where the options come up of what you're going to say, and you click that option because that sounds like what I would say. But the words that come out to address what was meant doesn't come out the way you think it would come out.
No, I mean, all you got is, basically the hook of the game is basically determining whether someone is lying, telling the truth, or holding something back. And that's your choice. You just pick the right one. The story flows fine. But, I mean, you don't get to say it with the words that come out.
Well, it was like, the sense that we had this discussion when it came out.
Probably
where
did. Yeah.
Some of the options, like the facial animations would give you, well, that looks like doubt, and you, or whatever the case may be.
I think it's doubt. And doubt was the one that was like throwing folks off. Especially in that first iteration, before they made the changes, like on the Switch or I think it was on the Switch or whatever when it came out on that, they had a different version that made like subtle changes in the choices you had to make. It used to be truth, lie, and doubt, and now it's like I forget what the
they change it.
It's like there's a little change on the new ones now. I can't recall the names of it.
I haven't played it since the original.
I never went back to it. Yeah, but
might be worth looking into on that one. That was interesting to play.
It's just finding clues and reading the facial expressions of people and making the right choice and whatnot. Yeah. You know, some are just flat out obvious the way they say it and their mannerisms after it. You know, we have to be a little detective and whatnot. And then some are really good at hiding their past or not telling you everything that's on the up and up. So it's just a little thing about paying attention. But it is a good noir style 1940s detective story.
Yeah, the best thing we do about these is when we talk about a new game, we'll go and look at a trailer.
Yeah,
and if it catches our eye, then we'll look into it. That's sort of like DMC did.
Yeah,
she's very happy about DMC.
Well, I know, but we didn't.
Can't find it anywhere.
No,
I think I have it on my PC.
Is the
issue, but I don't have it on any kind of. It's not on Game Pass. I don't have it as a game that I've previously owned, which is weird because I thought it did.
Yeah.
It's not on PlayStation for like PS Plus where I pulled it down.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have sworn I had a copy, and trying to find a used copy was very difficult to do.
Yeah,
there was not one anywhere around. There were digital copies of the game. I think they were digital. May not have been. I thought there were digital copies, but they're like full price.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe it's one of them things that's like one of them cult classics or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like I remember one like that was really hard to find, Split Second.
Yeah.
That was a hard one to find. I kept my copy of that.
Yeah,
good thing you did because when I looked for it, it was real hard to find.
I didn't think about it, but I know that there's a little used game store right down from the house.
Yeah.
That I totally forgot about going to. And they'll have a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive that they would have a copy of it. I just thought about that, by the way, right now.
I was about to ask Wendy, is there a certain genre you cater to in terms of gaming?
Murder.
Okay. What a genre. Murder. Okay.
I like murder.
Okay. So, film noir is right up your alley. That's
no,
good for film noir. Yeah,
the mystery.
No, L.A. Noir would be good. L.A. Noir would be good. I don't like playing horror games, but she would love something Condemned.
Yes.
She would love Condemned, Criminal Origins.
Criminal Origins, yeah.
She would love something like that. I ain't playing it, though.
We'll be together. You won't be scared. You won't be alone.
It doesn't.
I mean...
I'll give you the controller. You figure it out so that you can enjoy that. But yeah, I like them because, I mean, you know, James played it.
Yeah.
And so I watched him play it. We watched him go through
Condemned,
it.
Right?
Yeah. And so the puzzles were fun, but yeah, they're nope. Yeah.
All of my nope.
We're already playing Plague's Tale. I need to go back and finish that, by the way.
Yeah, you do.
So yeah. Let's go to the phone. Well, no, let's go to the phones. Let's go to the Discord and talk to Chris. Chris, you there?
Is it working?
It's working, man.
Well, it looks like the phone line in the radio station is down. It's not ringing through.
Is it really not?
No, I dial the number and it just sits there. So no telling.
Well, you're not going to hear dial tone unless you hit one of the buttons.
Oh.
I should do this later, but I'm gonna dial 29228. We oops, nope, I left the number off. 27292288. Go. It was busied for a while there, and we took the busy off. Uh-oh.
Maybe that's what it was.
Oh wow!
So it went from busy to dead.
What has happened here? Well, good call. Well, I appreciate you letting us know, Chris. We'd have never known. I mean, it's not like we get a ton of calls on the show anyway. And if you don't call, I just figure you're out of town. So,
yeah, I can save y'all come Monday morning.
No kidding, man. What is up? That's weird. Okay. Well, thank you. for letting us know.
But anyway, I finally wrote the letter out to some.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
No, Chris, what am I?
Chris, you there?
How about now?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah,
now.
I got you. Okay.
It may have timed out. Anyway, I finally got down and wrote the letter to Sony and mailed it off today. It's 2 pages long.
Good Lord.
Wow. Front and back?
Well, just one side.
Okay. All right.
But, yeah, I went into good detail and explained my situation, my beliefs and everything, and the issue about them making it almost impossible to get in contact with people at Sony. And I mentioned that I sent them a message on the PlayStation Facebook page, you know, the private message, and got the response that no one's home.
What, an auto response or something?
Yeah, it gave me an auto response that nobody watches this channel or pays attention to the private messages with Sony.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, of course.
Too big to pay attention to his customers. Maybe.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. And I gave them my email address and that I expect to hear back from them. So we'll see in the near future.
Yeah, well, yeah, we shall see. Good luck with that. I like I said, I applaud you for going as far as you're going with it. I don't think you'll get anything back. Keep doing it, though. Keep at it. Something may happen. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I decided just might as well give it a try, even though I don't think anything will happen either. But
you know, still,
if I don't do anything, nothing's going to happen for sure. So
yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You still playing Horizon?
No, I haven't got into Horizon yet. I'm still trying to finish up Dying Light 2.
Oh wow! Okay, you're really a one game at a time kind of guy, huh?
Yeah, unless I feel like taking a break from it, and then I plan on wanting to pop it in probably this weekend or next weekend pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So
is there what's keeping you in there? Is it a big story or the action-adventure? What's keeping you riveted in there?
It's the action-adventure and then all the different things and side quests, you know, things on the map. Oh, I got to go do this, do that, you know, check mark list.
Yeah, yeah. So was it why you want to, the things that keep you away from the main story? I mean, I had that issue with Fallout all the time. It's like there's so many side missions that you barely get to the main story at all.
Yeah, that's what I like about those different games. You do all the side quests and you're like 30 levels higher than the first boss.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the point of it. Really, you have to some games you have to do the side quest to get you level up to do that thing. But or they put so many in there, you're so ridiculously overpowered. By the time you get to where you need to be, then it's like one shot done.
I was watching I was watching a review of Elden Ring, and he was talking about the fact that he loved it. It was not even a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that without even realizing it, he was taking down some of these bosses without a problem because he had explored so much.
Yeah.
That he'd leveled himself up enough to be able to
which
handle
is basically
those
possible in any Souls game.
Is it?
But, yeah, I mean, look, you can
I've never put in the time.
Look, theoretically, you can just go around and explore and take out enemies over and over again, go back to the bonfire, reset everything, and lather, rinse, repeat until you have enough souls to level yourself up past a certain point. And then, because I've seen it happen where you can, like, one good hard shot from an overpowered character, you've taken off a good chunk of health off of a boss battle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you got the opportunity to grind for souls from the get-go, yeah, it's possible to do that. Like it's possible in all the Souls games.
Yeah, like I said, never really put the time in to know or even try. But Elden Ring, I still see it, and I'm getting a little bit. I didn't feel that way with
fear
Dark Souls.
Fear of missing out.
It's not really fear of missing out. I mean, obviously, it's the zeitgeist. Obviously, it's the whole situation where everybody's talking about it.
Yeah,
or at least it's filtering into my ears that way, or eyes, whatever you want to count, however you want to count it, to where I see what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Is Elden Ring this, Elden Ring that? It's a great game. It's going to get Game of the Year. This is the best thing From Software has ever done. Or this is the most approachable Souls game they've ever made, and that's fantastic, and people are, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that is sort of pulling me in. It is a new thing, of course. I don't have any kind of fear of missing out on that because there is no...
Technically, you won't because it'll still be available.
And it's a completely single-player game. I know it's got a little bit of... Not multiplayer, but you know what I'm saying. It's got
You're going to get invaded.
So, yeah, it's got some of those aspects to it. But the games that I have the fear of missing out on are the games that are multiplayer intensive or co-op intensive. Borderlands was one. Mm. You know, Borderlands 2, actually. Because we had played Borderlands in a co-op section. And I thought, well, Borderlands 2, where are we going to all get it? And okay. And I know it didn't happen. By the time I got in there, nobody else that I knew was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was, yep, I missed out.
Yeah.
You know? Because that's the only way I enjoy playing that game is with a group.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So stuff like that, I can get a fear on. I don't have any kind of fear of missing out with Horizon. I don't have fear of missing out with Elden Ring. And let me go back to Horizon for a second. So we were talking about this in one of our Discords, and I mentioned the fact that Witch Queen release. Normally, a Destiny expansion release doesn't really hold a news cycle. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't stick around. It's like, hey, new expansion for Destiny. You guys enjoy it.
More the same.
Yeah, stuff like that.
It's like a
or there'll be
here's
complaints.
Here's the next Call of Duty. Okay, yeah, we expect that from
but
me. You know, yeah.
Witch Queen is getting a lot of rave reviews on what they're doing with their story missions and stuff. What they have done with the story in the game, and there's. Everything that I've read, as much as I've read about Elden Ring being accessible to people for a FromSoft or a Souls game, if you want to call it that, or just how amazing it is, I'm getting the same kind of read and feedback on not necessarily Destiny 2 as a whole, just the Witch Queen campaign story.
Mm-hmm.
Those missions and maybe a little bit into the world itself.
So it's like story mode done right?
Maybe, and everybody saying this eclipses what they ever did with Halo and what Bungie ever did with Halo, and this is the best time to jump into Destiny 2 if you've been away for a while or if you've never jumped in at all. Same kind of mirror thing with what everybody says about Elden Ring.
It's a lot of ones in the Cosmodrome, to be honest.
So Witch Queen releases on a Tuesday, and that was the 22nd. Horizon released on the 20th, let's see, Horizon Forbidden West.
There it is again.
Yeah, I know. There it comes. It was released on February 18th. So it released on a Friday the 18th,
mm-hmm.
Witch Queen on the 22nd, Elden Ring on that Friday. Horizon had like 3 days of, hey, Horizon's out. Before it was, hey, here's Witch Queen. Oh, my God, this is really good. And then a few days later, Elden Ring just smashed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is any, with the exception of because it's like Raid Day or whatever, maybe they're talking about that. But nobody's really talking about Destiny anymore. Nobody's talking about Horizon Forbidden West anymore. It is Elden Ring. Elden Ring, Elden Ring, Elden Ring. And any other kind of news that's out there.
Yeah,
but
well, Destiny's been out a while, and then Horizon Zero Dawn, the newest thing, yeah, but then you... That they've been the absolute new is Elden Ring. So,
well, Elden Ring also had the whole. Well, it's From Software for one, which is, you know, how often do you guys get games from Software? Like once every six, five.
There's a minute between games. Yeah,
yeah. It's a good gap between games. Then, to top it off, you had George R. R. Martin doing the writing for this one has some sort of a profile. I'm sure he probably. Didn't write the whole thing. He probably got emails that said, we're adding this in there. Is that good? And he's like, yes. That was probably the extent of his help. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how much he put in to the creation of this game.
Yeah.
Story-wise, lore-wise, whatever you want to say. Still, that game had some backing too. Here's another observation before we have to go because I've left this on, I've gone way over. I mentioned that George R.R. Martin guy was part of this. He's rarely brought up in reviews or anything like that. When people talk about this game, they are not talking about him.
They're talking about game.
They're talking about From Software, Souls-like. This is great. It's so massive. They give it more comparisons to what? Breath of the Wild, I think. Zelda, Breath of the Wild, I think is where they get the comparisons there. So. Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris, I'm not going to hang up on you because you're in Discord. It doesn't matter. You can just hang out there if you want to.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah. So we are going to go take a break, though. And when we come back, we'll jump into some of the news here. Music here from a game called Voice of Cards, Forsaken Maiden. It's the main menu music that plays. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Shadow Warrior 3. Haven't played that yet. I remember seeing that on an E3 preview or something like that. Bloody and all kinds of... I don't know. I've never played a Shadow Warrior game, so...
Yeah.
But 3 looks like, hey, it's one I could get into. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Let's see, looking at some of the news that happened over the week. Valve is already looking at new ideas for, and I'm seeing if Violent's showing up. Valve's already looking at new ideas for the next generation of Steam Deck, which is good. Because I saw, you know, in all the reviews I was reading, a lot of people were very happy with the way that it is and said, you know, it could do this or it could do that, and we'll probably see that in a revision later on down. And so hopefully that is the case, and that is what we will get at some point. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how far they go with the how long they let it out there before they say, okay, we need to do a new one. You know, we need to do a refresh of the tech or something. I don't know. Like, what is that?
6 to 12 months.
Really?
Which one would you say?
I would go... probably 2 or 3 years. Probably 3.
How long did Nintendo wait for their revision of the...
all they did on the Switch was just an OLED.
It's still a revision, but how long did it take for them to do that?
2 years.
2 years?
I want to say. Maybe it was... I think it was around 2 years.
Okay.
Before they did that. And now they did the Switch Lite... I think about a year into it, which was the one that you can't dock it. It is really strictly handheld.
Strictly portable, yeah.
Yeah. So they did that. That was a revision in aesthetic. There was no revision in the inner workings of the machine. Something like the Steam Deck, which is a portable PC, will get, I would imagine, would get revisions, like I said, about every 3 years, maybe. I don't really know. To put in new processors, to put in more RAM, whatever they can fit in there, because things get smaller.
Because PC, you know, and people want to keep the things updated, you know, pretty readily. And a PC, much quicker than anything console-based or anything like that.
I know. Well, see, that's all I got to go on, because Steam's never put out a refresh of any of their stuff before.
Because that's how long it'll take for like components to like be... dated in a
as
PC,
soon as they're released,
like 18 months, 12 to 18 months.
Well, let's
some
see.
New some new version of type of something or something better comes down the line.
It's about a year.
So,
I mean, for the most part,
you'll get, if you don't get refreshes of technology, you get revisions of whatever's current. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we'll take NVIDIA for an example where they did, here's our 3080. And then about 4 months later, you'll get, or 6 months later, you'll get the 3080 Ti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not, which is more expensive, more powerful than what is out there, something like that. So, but not really a new generation. It doesn't move us into the fours, you know. We're mm-hmm. still staying in the threes. The fours, by the way, I think are coming this year. So that would be 2 years, mm-hmm. I think, in between the 30 series and now the 40 series. If the rumors are true, because they got compromised this past week. NVIDIA got completely compromised in a cyber attack. I believe they said that no user information was taken. Of course, I never buy that.
They always say that.
Yeah.
So
they say it until they don't. They say it because they can at a certain point mm-hmm. until they have to either word it differently or come right out and say, yeah, your stuff's compromised.
Yeah,
you might want to change your password.
Yeah. No user info got out. Change your stuff. They're lying.
Yeah,
and even if they're not lying, we don't believe you anyway because so many people have lied before you. So go ahead, change your stuff. Change everything.
Nabokov says the cycle's probably 18 to 24 months. It's a TikTok cycle. You get the minor improvements every 6 to 12, but you get the new stuff every 18 to 24.
Okay.
But that is, sure, in the world of somebody who owns a PC who wants to do those upgrades, and maybe that is what they do. We don't know. Valve, this is the first time Valve has put something out that looks like it's going to stick around for them. Maybe. I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you. That controller was kind of cool, but it didn't stick around.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's still around, but nobody's really implementing it like they used to. Big picture mode and everything else when they were trying to put Steam into the living room instead of on a PC.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Steam, whatever, the thing that you could stream your Steam screen
bridge or whatever.
I don't know what it was. Anyway, they never went back and revised these things. They may have gotten some software updates, but they never mm-hmm. went back and said, you know what, we can make this better. Let's build a new one, or let's do, you know, Steam controller 2.0. What, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just something. But they never did. On anything that they have ever made that I know of, they've never, outside of a game, which apparently they only do two of those, mm-hmm. They haven't done something like that. So I don't know what their plan might be as far as, which is stupid that we're talking about it, I think, right now.
Yeah.
It's like, PS5's out there. Well, when's the 6? Because that's going to be better. Mm. Of course it is.
Mm. So better be.
It's kind of, only out of my curiosity to see what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'll be interesting because when they do announce that here's our next Steam Deck, if they do, then you get an idea of, all right, from release to this release, here's the span of time we can expect.
Yeah.
Now, what do we do next time? Do we wait that long and does something come out, or do they miss that deadline and keep going, or who knows? Mm-hmm. We don't know. We don't know what they're going to do. I feel like this is something that might stick for them. I don't know, though. I don't have one in my hands. I'm checking over to the chat room there to see if Violent's in there. He's not. I don't have one in my hands. Matt's got one, or getting one, I guess, but I haven't heard from him about it at all either. So I'm trying to read through the chat rooms as see right now. DDR5 is a thing. Yes, it is. You can't actually have reliable RAM. See, Valve could straight up actually release the Steam Deck 2.0 and kick the hardware to the curb compared to what they have. I know there's a lot there, but we don't know what they're going to do. We won't know until they say something about it. So. Lethal Migraine mentioned that Microsoft or Valve has told Microsoft, you can bring Game Pass over to Steam. That's fine
mm-hmm.
if you want to do that. I don't know that they're going to, but they welcome it. So you might have Game Pass on Steam. That'd be fine. I'm totally down with that because I still haven't used Game Pass on my PC because of the dice roll you get from putting some of those games on your system and not being able to get them off.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah. What's up,
Chris? Have you seen about the things on the new Steam Deck, the portable Steam system? that Nintendo supposedly has taken down videos of it running emulation of video games or Nintendo games.
I heard people had emulation running on the Steam Deck and of plenty of different things, Nintendo being obviously the one everybody's going to do to be able to put that stuff on there. Yeah, I've seen that. Where they do that. I don't have any desire to tweak this thing. You know what I'm saying? I just want it to run my games. That's it. I have no desire to get in there and mess around and put raw. You can. I mean, it's an operating system that's on there, some kind of operating system on there. Linux-based, maybe? I'm not sure what the software is that is on the Steam Deck, the operating system mm-hmm. that's on the Steam Deck. I don't know if it's Linux or not, but... But yeah, I did hear about that. But Nintendo's a little trigger happy when it comes to pulling rank on their stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it says Proton is Valve's Linux.
Yeah, say again.
It said Proton is Valve's Linux compatibility layer, which is the key to running games programmed for Windows PCs on a Linux powered machine.
Yeah, it's Linux. Yeah. It's Linux. Yeah. Which I mean, just the fact that it's Linux opens the door even wider. Than it does on any other kind of operating system that you put on there. So, I didn't doubt that at all. Nintendo, by the way, pulled Super Smash Brothers from Evo.
Yeah.
So no Super Smash Brothers this year, they want to do their own thing.
They want to do their own thing, yeah.
I get that. I totally get that they want to do their own thing, and they can't, but I don't understand why both can't exist.
Yeah.
Why can't Smash Brothers be at Evo and Nintendo, you do your own thing that's centered around... Smash Brothers. I don't know.
Maybe they're perceiving they're losing money some quake with this esports thing blowing up.
They all do. I said they always do. I don't want to say they all do. They always do.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that you get tagged on YouTube for having Nintendo music or images or whatever it may be is because Nintendo says no. Nintendo has the strongest grip on their IP than I would say any other company does.
Yeah,
always have.
Yeah, we just saw that dude get jail time for his mm-hmm. getting those ROMs put out there.
3 years, I think it was.
Yeah, some time.
3 years it wasn't jail, it was prison. 3 years
and a fine.
And a fine with that as well. Yeah. What was something? It's one of those little random trivia things to know, but like Nintendo owns the rights to pornography that features their IP.
Yeah.
That features their intellectual property. They own the rights to it. They bought the rights to it.
Yeah.
Because they said, there's no way we can go out there and buy all these up. We're just going to buy the rights from this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way it'll never be recirculated, of course, then again.
Based on our IP, so...
Well, they're just protective. Yeah. I mean, in that sense, I get what they're doing there. They're very protective about that. But how much of a, you know, how much of a I was going to say, like, how much policing, but it's beyond policing. It's like how militant they are against anybody, any one little thing, unless you have their permission to do so, to do that. And it just, it's really... It's not weird. It just comes off mean.
Yeah, I mean, let me think about it. When you had the tournament and you have your things there, you're bringing your consoles, your copies of the games and whatnot, and you're just setting up stations and having tournaments and playing them. Yeah, most companies don't have an issue with that, but Nintendo, being Nintendo, being protective, probably want to do their own thing. And then recently with Capcom, with their little attempt at a license they put out for Street Fighter V.
Mm-hmm.
That did not go over well with the tournament organizers.
Nope.
I mean, some just flat out said, "Well, no Street Fighter at this tournament. Just go and do something else."
And oddly enough, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with no Street Fighter, only for the fact that Smash Brothers could fill that void for what entertained me while I watched that. I was going to say Marvel versus Capcom, but that's Capcom as well. So
Capcom, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they would put that
in
there.
They may force the issue to play more titles. Heck, King of Fighters 15 is new. Guilty Gear Strive is still getting play. Throw out Melty Blood. How about bring back Virtual Fighter? Virtual Fighter 5 came out a while back. Still have folks playing that. Bring that up some.
I love there's a game called Melty Blood.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask my 5-year-old cousin, what do you want to call this? Melty blood.
Hey, RJ.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of the Naruto series anime?
The who?
The Naruto anime series?
No, Naruto, I heard of it, but I haven't watched any. I haven't watched any of it. It's like too big to catch up on by the time I got
to
it.
I always pronounced it Naruto.
But I heard of it, yeah.
Might check out that YouTube video that, my mind went blank on the people that put out the video. Flash Gets did a video about that series.
Mm-hmm. Flash Gets, yeah, I'm familiar with the channel. I can check that out then. Flash Gets, okay.
All right.
Yeah, that one was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of other folks that don't play with their property, some studios in Japan. You do the wrong thing with their stuff, they're gonna come for you. Across the ocean.
Right? I don't have a problem with people protecting their IP or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just the way that Nintendo goes about it doesn't matter what you do it for. Mm-hmm. You could do it for a charity and Nintendo's gonna pull it.
Yeah.
Unless you've asked them about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's some robotic thing
mm-hmm.
that's running through. There's no human that is actually doing this. It's like some sort of AI that only reads, they don't have our permission, kill it, regardless of how it's being used.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like there's somebody on the other end of that saying, hey, let me call in somebody. Is this okay? Should they be doing this? And then go through with it. No. They shoot first and ask questions later, basically, if they do that at all.
Yeah, free pub for your game anyway. I mean, it's being streamed and everything, and people are playing, they're having a good time, and you have the competition, so more people get involved and all that type of stuff. But, they've been doing it for so long. All of a sudden, suddenly, they just said, nope.
Yeah. GTA 5, the PS5 and Xbox Series X remasters offer some 4K, 60 frames per second, some ray tracing in there. Of course, I'll watch the Digital Foundry video whenever that thing gets released so we can see just exactly what is going on with that. Watched a little bit of the Digital Foundry video for Gran Turismo 7.
I saw a pop-up for that on my when I booted up my PlayStation, and it just said the logo for Gran Turismo.
Man, there's some beautiful stuff. Look, cars have never really been a problem for games.
Mm-hmm.
The outside, the exterior of cars, the way they're shaped, the way things work, it's very, very easy to do. I say that. I don't code games at all, so what do I know? But it seems like
you got enough source material to make a very accurate representation of the vehicle on your game. Yeah.
So you've really got to work on the details if you want to show off what you're doing.
And Gran Turismo has always been about that.
God.
Been about the details.
The interior details look great, but we were sitting there watching this video, and I noticed this reflection on the screen, and I realized it was the windshield reflecting the dash and, like, some air vents that were on the dash as well, and they were just kind of popping in every now and again depending on how the light worked on your car.
Yeah.
And I just was
like, reality. Yeah.
Not something that I would notice because you don't look in that particular view, but because I wasn't playing the game and I was able to kind of observe everything that's going on, it's just like,
right.
Look at that. Just to notice some detail. And they talked about ray tracing, which was a weird thing for Gran Turismo 7. Ray tracing, so there's a couple of modes you can play the game in, performance mode and all these different things, depending on what you can get out of it.
Right.
If you turn on ray tracing, which I want to say is the ray tracing is where you can get really good reflections.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you look at a puddle on the ground and can see a reflection of the sky, it's probably set that way for all the puddles. But if you have ray tracing on, it not only reflects the sky back, but you can see like a mountain that's in the distance because of the angle that you're looking at, it would reflect in the water that is in that area from you.
Mm-hmm.
You would see that and that sort of thing. The reflective surface of the cars, and the guy talked about how, you know, you've got your base paint and then your clear coat on your paint, and everything is simulated there. If for some way that you could take off the clear coat that they coated onto the car, you would then have a base coat that you would have to take off how they coated that onto the car,
mm-hmm.
the frame of the body. So a lot of it works. Anyway, ray tracing only works on replays, you know, demos or something like that. If you actually are playing the game, you will not get ray tracing off of that. Mm. But if you watch a replay of the race that you do, it's there. It's an interesting little thing. Yeah. But, man, is it just gorgeous. I have no intention of buying it. That is not my game. I'm an arcade guy, racer through and through.
Yeah.
But, boy, is it pretty to look at. It is just beautiful to look at. So, yeah, that's out now as well. What was I going to talk about? Activision Blizzard got sued in a wrongful death case alleging sexual harassment. That led to suicide of an employee, now getting sued for it. Activision also blamed Microsoft, the Microsoft acquisition, for failure to hire another woman to its board. Like, we're not going to hire another woman to its board. Why? Well, Microsoft bought us.
Okay.
What sense does that make?
What's the correlation?
I don't get it.
Okay.
But whatever. Not really a show note, but a PSA, if you would. If you have Epic Games, the Epic Games Store on your PC, one of my favorite games, a game that I absolutely love, haven't played it in a very long time, but put some hours into it when it released, City Skylines will be available for free next Thursday, and then for a week on the Epic Games Store on PC.
Okay.
So if you'd like to jump in on that. We also had the BAFTA Award nominations go out. And I don't want to go through the entire list.
Sounds like, would it sound like more of the same or something? Or
Well, I can, let's see. Game of the Year nominee. What year is this? Yeah, this is the right one. Game of the Year nominees. Well, I was looking for, just give me a list, but there isn't one. Looks like It Takes Two is a Game of the Year Award nominee. Unpacking is the Game of the Year Award nominee. Metroid Dread, Game of the Year nominee. There's a couple of others there. I thought I had a list, but apparently I do not have a list. So
sounds like the awards from DICE last time. It Takes Two and Metroid.
Let's see. Returnal got 8 nominations. It Takes Two got 8 nominations. Ratchet and Clank got 7. Forza Horizon 5 and Psychonauts earned 6. Deathloop got 5. The best game category, Inscription, Ratchet and Clank, Deathloop, Forza Horizon 5, and Returnal are all in there. Let me tell you, every single award thing that you hear about for 2023 next year, Elden Ring is going to, I don't know if it's going to sweep wins, but it's going to sweep nominations. It is going to get nominated a ton.
Yeah.
Just from what I can tell from just looking at this.
Yeah.
The reaction that it's getting.
But I would say with any award show, the one that makes the biggest impact the latest in the year anyway. Elden Ring, it's early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
You still got 9 months to go, so see what else pops up.
Yeah. This is weird. It says the BAFTA Game Awards will take place next week on Thursday, March 7th. There is no Thursday, March 7th. There's a Monday, March 7th. It's a Thursday the 10th, but yeah. I don't know which one that means. All right, we're going to take a break here, and then when we come back, we've got more news to discuss, and we will. And I'll read some of the chat room roll calls there, and yeah. Got more to come after this break. Music here from Far, Lone Sails, which I think is the sequel that came out. And so this is called Sail, My Friend. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is awfully dramatic for a racing game. That is Grid Legends Final Race Boss or something. That's what that is. So, yeah.
Sounds like it fits to me.
I suppose for, I never would have, not for a grid game, maybe for like a split second.
A racing title? You're going to have some fast-paced, dramatic type things like that.
Yeah, I guess so. Hot Wheels ain't that dramatic. I need to get back to that.
Look, Daytona USA has singing in it. Come on now.
Yeah. What I ran into, by the way, on Hot Wheels, and I may have talked about this, was that Hot Wheels is massive, by the way. So you have this big map. Mm-hmm. And each little point on the map is a race that you can do. Mm-hmm. And so you don't drive through the map. You just, that's where you select the next race you're going to do. As you do a race, so like the race points are at intersections. So when you do a race, you unlock the ability to go down, you know, take a left, take a right, go straight. If it's a four-way, sometimes it's mm-hmm. not. Sometimes it's just a T-intersection or something. But anyway, once you do that, it unlocks to where you need to go. That's great until I got to the point where every turn, everything that I made, everything that I unlocked, only pointed me to the thing I hate the most in racing games. The one thing I can't stand in any racing game. Mm-hmm. Hate it. Time trials. Mm. Do not like racing against the clock. Time trials in racing games are the underwater levels of every other game. Do not give me a time. Don't tie me on anything.
That's the challenge of it.
Well, that's what I hate.
You have to fight it. Look, it's like
it's the part
it's like SSX.
I know.
When that came out, I mean, get from point A to point B as fast as you possibly can. That means you got to find, that means lather, rinse, repeat, find the absolute perfect lines across that entire mountain. And racing games is no different.
SSX2, you just had to finish first. Didn't matter your timing on there. I don't remember SX2 having time
trials.
I'm
talking about the latest one, the remake one.
Yeah, the remake, yeah.
That one, yeah. Because you have little ghosts to mm-hmm. get, and you can get points and benefits and whatnot.
I mean, I didn't like that either, by the way.
I know, it's a time trial. It's that lather, rinse, repeat of finding the perfect route and skill of getting from one point to the next. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a standard in a lot of racing titles, but...
It is.
Is it completely unavoidable for
yeah.
you?
Yeah, because you can't. Because yeah. you have to do them in order to unlock that intersection, so you can move on to other stuff on the map.
Okay.
You know, it's like you're only accessible. So I don't know how to explain it.
Mm-hmm. You got to do it.
But if I took a map of I don't know a city,
mm-hmm.
you know, downtown LA,
yeah.
you know, and put it there, and at every intersection I put a challenge to you. And you couldn't cross that intersection. You couldn't pass through. It's like a red light.
Yeah.
You can't pass that intersection until you've completed that challenge.
Okay.
Once you've completed it, then you can go left, right, whatever on the map. So you have to do it. And I was able to get through enough to where I've done races and different things like that. But now I'm at the point where all of my unlocks or everything I have to do now are time trial based.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a fan of it. But I really haven't approached one in that game yet.
But you got to do it if you want to complete it.
The only ones I remember it from are Burnout. I hated the time trials in Burnout.
Yeah. So what you're describing sounds like Burnout with restrictions. Because you can go anywhere you want in that map and thing, but you're stuck with stuck at the spot.
I'm trying to explain this map thing. It's not a map that you drive around on. It's a mm-hmm. map that your cursor moves on to yeah. pick. And then once you select it, you don't drive to that thing. It's just there's the race. It's not an open world game like Paradise was.
Okay.
But it does limit you. You can't go to further parts of the map until you've opened the road to get there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's just something you just have to knuckle down and do.
Yeah, if I'm explaining it right, I'm probably not. Mm. Hey, let's do a chat room roll call real quick. I say real quick, we got a lot of people in there. Abjui? Abjuui, I think. I don't know. Action Shin? AC Wraith? Another TV viewer? A10? Odyssea? Badger Dash? Bam Brian? Commander Root? Drunk Degenerates? Elysian? Cac... Kazips 06, Lethal Migraine, Nabokov, and Stephen Van Damme. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us in the chat room. We always appreciate when you guys do. And so, and what was it? Something else? Oh, that was the next bit of news I was going to go into here. And really, this is not going to take a lot of time to do, but it's everything to do with Ukraine and everything that has been done because of that. Ubisoft, who really had come under the gun from a lot of people, actually pulled a pretty good, you know. No, I said your name, Bam O'Brien. I didn't add the 17, but I did say your name. It says Ubisoft provided additional funds, advanced salaries, and additional housing or alternate housing to their staff who are in the Ukraine. Good on you, Ubisoft, because I would imagine that would not be the case under, I don't know. Let's just pick a company, Activision Blizzard. Why not? Mm-hmm. They're in the hot seat. Sure. A Counter-Strike Go Pro lost a tournament, but he still gave $33,000 to the Ukrainian army. Anyway, apparently he had pledged to do that if he won the tournament. He didn't win the tournament, but he went ahead and gave the money anyway. Mm-hmm. So good on him. World of Tanks creative director got fired for publicly supporting Russia. Yeah, not really a side you want to be on in this situation. The Ukraine called on PlayStation and Xbox to stop supporting Russian markets. Microsoft suspended all new sales of products and services in Russia just recently. EA Games pulled all their games and virtual currency bundles from sale in Russia and Belarus as well. This War of Mine studio, that is a game that is absolutely depressing, but also a game I think a lot of people need to play. But it is absolutely depressing. Mm-hmm. Even worse is, I want to say, the expansion or the DLC they did, which dealt with children during war, mm-hmm. Which, again, absolutely depressing to play, but also almost absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. To someone, except the fact that they made a game that's not really accessible to everybody. It's not like a what's the one, Valiant Hearts,
yeah,
which is kind of, you know,
with the multiples. It was like the war from like, yeah, four different perspectives. One was, yeah, a dog, one was a nurse, one was a soldier, and what was it, was there a fourth? Was it just three? The, no, soldier, the dog, and the nurse.
There was the nurse, and then there was
soldier, nurse, dog.
The soldier, and then there was the farmer.
Farmer, okay.
Yeah, and then, of course, there was the... No, there was another guy, too. There was the...
So it was five.
The dog doesn't really count. You don't... You play some as the dog, but only because the dog is with you with, I think...
It made it sound like the dog was important, because that dog was featured in a lot of...
Oh, the trailer, stuff, yeah. No. The trailer was fantastic when, yeah, it featured the dog, but you had five guys. You had the farmer, the bomb guy, whatever. He was the American.
Okay.
You had the French farmer, American guy who was big into demolition.
Demolition's guy.
Yeah, the demolitions guy. And then you had the soldier, the nurse, farmer, soldier, nurse, bomb guy, and then, yeah, the dog to, mm-hmm, round out. There were the five characters, but yeah, I think you only play as the four, mm-hmm, if I remember. Anyway, the reason I say that, Valiant Hearts is a very, and I don't want to say watered down, it still does the job of communicating to you, especially with the First War.
Mm-hmm.
Or the First World War, which a lot of games don't really kind of,
it's always
go
two,
back to. They, yeah, stick with two.
Yeah.
But they talk about that, and when you go through there, yes, it's very cartoony. Yes, it's somewhat silly. It has its moments, but it also has the educational moments. They did a lot of things with the letters and things like this that are all tied into the reality of things. This War of Mine does somewhat the same, but on a completely serious level. The game mechanic is not as just pick up and play type of thing, mm-hmm, as you might think, but it's still one of those games that is just real depressing, mainly because it's real,
yeah,
in a sense of what everybody's going through. So yeah, with Lethal Migraine says Visa and MasterCard just announced they are stopping business in Russia. Yeah, Nabokov. I've met with the developers of This War of Mine as well. I didn't tell them that they had one of the most depressing games I'd ever played, but I did meet with them, I think, on the first one, or it may have been on the second one. I think it was on the expansion, the one with the kids. Because I think I did mention something that's like, man, I appreciate you guys putting the effort on this, but why did you have to go in this direction with it? Because the first one was already what it was, and now you're going to, okay, let's put children into it. But it's still a situation where it's like, no, it's something you should do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's been others that have, there's been a ton of other kind of, I don't want to say restrictions, but, well, sanctions, I guess you could call them. That other companies have been doing, individual companies.
Yeah.
Like, I hit some of the high points here, like EA and Microsoft and that sort of thing. But there's been a number of other companies that have, you know, ceased sales in Russia and like that. And also to bring up, we interviewed them a long time ago. But Frogwares is the company that makes the Sherlock Holmes games. They're based out of the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And something was going on with Ukraine years back whenever one of the Sherlock games was getting released, and we had them on and we talked to them about it. So, but yeah, there's a number of studios that are in Ukraine as well that, yeah, if you go to their Twitter sites, you can see where they've put on Twitter, like, yeah, we make games, this is serious, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal Migraine says, do you think 6 Days in Fallujah will still come out this year? Will it get delayed due to what's happening? I think it'll... I don't know, man. 6 Days in Fallujah already got delayed way back when because I can't remember. Was it money that ran out or was it just the controversy that kept it down? Because if that did, then I'm not sure it'll make it out this year either. Stalker 2 is definitely getting delayed. I think they already said that they had to cease production on that and that it's going to get a delay. They didn't know how long of a delay when they said that. But yeah, Stalker 2 will not be this year, I would imagine. I don't know. It kind of depends on how things are going. Not that it matters. I don't care. I don't want to go up to them and say, hey, if this thing ends next week, you guys good to get it out end of the year, right? Yeah, no. Not a situation that I really care about. Just get safe. Game can come later. That's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah. Let's see. What else? Anything else going on? Is Chris still? Yeah, Chris is still in there. You still there, buddy? Chris? He's frantically getting his stuff so he can say it.
Yeah.
There he is.
There we go.
Got to be at the ready, man.
I had to bite the phone again.
I'm sure it went to sleep on you, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Nabokov says, dev for 6 Days in Fallujah is Highwire Games. They're based out of Seattle. That's fine. They can finish developing the game. Will they get it released? I don't know. Because of the situation? Don't know. So, we'll see. Not really... well, we're not getting no, it's next year we're not getting a Call of Duty. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, whenever I'm done with Uncharted 4, I'll probably throw up a poll on, like, Twitter or maybe in our Discord or something like that and see what the next game is. That Wendy and I will go through some trailers. She'll find some stuff she likes, and then we'll throw it up there for you guys to decide on what's the next one that she's going to... I say watch me play, but we both are entertained by it, you know, just watching, going through it. It'll be interesting with Wolf Among Us to see if you can make the choices while I play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I've already played that game. I don't necessarily remember everything about it. It's been, what year did that come out?
Let's see, Wolf Among Us?
Yeah, I've got something pulled up here. So, Wolf Among Us came out in 2013.
2013, yeah.
I haven't played it since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So, been a while.
This was the only Telltale game that made me want to play it. It's the one with all the ones are story based. And with The Walking Dead, I wasn't really into. The Batman thing was like meh, but for some reason, Wolf Among Us piqued my interest enough to actually give it a shot. And I'm glad I did because it was a really good experience going.
Walking
that
Dead
game.
Season 1 of Walking Dead worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Season 2 and everything else that came afterwards, I don't know if because the shtick had gotten old. mm-hmm. by then, or it just lost the impact. The impact of one was really, really good. Yeah, it still showed us that ultimately there is no choice. Mm-hmm. you are on the path that the game wants you to be on, regardless of what you choose.
Yeah.
But it was nice to think that we had an illusion of such a thing. Still, even getting to the end of that game was fantastic the way they did it. Everything they did about that was really, really good. But the seasons that came out afterwards, they never stuck with me like season one did. And I'm totally fine with that. Season one ends in a way that I could say, don't need any more. Mm-hmm. You're good. You're good. But Wolf
Speaking
Among
of
Us.
Other games.
You what?
Speaking of other games, have y'all heard about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge?
Yeah. Not out yet, though. I know about it. That's based on the... feels like it's set in the arcade days, right?
Yeah, it feels like the like a
the old four player arcade thing.
Yeah, the four player arcade thing. Yeah. I haven't heard any news about it. It's been a while since I've seen anything.
Is that Dotemu? I found out you can play as April and Splinter now too.
But it's not out yet, is it?
No.
No, it's supposed to be out sometime this year, but I don't know a release date yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it still says 2022, but yeah, April is a playable character along with Splinter, and I think what they did was they took some, they just took a lot of moves. They gave her a lot of moves from various incarnations of Street Fighter.
Oh, really?
Just implemented it and gave it to her. So you're gonna recognize, I think Cammy's dive kick and Chun Li's bird kick. I think are two of the moves they gave her mm-hmm. in that game. Or they won't officially say it, but you know that's exactly.
Is
what
that Capcom?
Like. Street Fighter?
No, Ninja Turtles.
No.
Who is that? Who is the publisher on that?
Dotemu, the ones who did the Street Fighter, Streets of Rage 4.
Oh.
Those folks, the ones who did Windjammers.
Yeah. No. I know who you're things. Talking
yeah.
about now.
Yeah, they're the ones who are publishing this as well. So yeah,
I didn't know they were doing that. Wow, I remember. Well, Nintendo. That's how far I'm going back with my Ninja Turtle games.
Yeah.
The home console releases, the rights were owned by Konami at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Wendy and I were talking the other day because she asked me about when are we getting another Silent Hill? Because somebody had asked her about that. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't think we're going to be getting another Silent Hill because Konami is holding on to it.
Yeah.
And she said, well, why are they holding on to it? And I said, well, because they're not making games anymore, from what I understand, right? Mm-hmm. They are making slot machines. okay. But they're not making games anymore. But if they sell that IP, they can't do anything with it. Like, if they were to think, hey, we got some backing, we can make another game in that Silent Hill series, they could do that. Metal Gear, they still own that, right?
They should.
Kojima didn't take anything with him from that. It was Metal Gear is still owned by Konami.
Yeah. I mean, companies will hold on to their IPs for, like, but they got a death grip on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like Sega has been holding on to Eternal Champions for so long, and I've been waiting for them to do something with your IP. But no, they're just going to hang on to it and do nothing with it. Just lock it up somewhere.
Yeah.
And they won't let anyone do anything else with it. Heck, they when Streets of Rage remake came out, they were doing so good, and then Sega saw how good it was doing, and they just come in and wanted to kill that.
Yep.
Nice. It was too little too late because it was already out in the public and out in the wild.
Well, I had forgotten that Konami made, like, is it slot machines or pachinko machines? Pachinko machines.
Mm-hmm. Pachinko, probably. Yeah.
And I remember my one trip to Vegas I ever made. When I was walking into casinos, you would see rows and rows of slot machines, but they would all be based on a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wheel of Fortune slot machines, Gilligan's Island slot machines. And I remember I went to... Oh, was it EA at the time? One of the first gaming trips I ever made was a day trip to California mm-hmm. to see Kane and Lynch. And I got to interview the composer, Jesper Kidd, who does a lot of, who did Assassin's Creed, Hitman, that sort of thing. Anyway, walking into their lobby was, this was Eidos, I think. I can't remember who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there were Tomb Raider pachinko machines in the lobby that you could go up to and play if you wanted to. They didn't mm-hmm. pay anything out, but they were there. And so I get thinking back on that, I realize Konami's holding on to that because they can license that stuff out to anybody they want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're holding on to the IP, because they have control. If somebody wants it, sure, buy it from us. Oh, crap, we got to go. yes, show is over. Chris, bye. Sorry, I got ahead of me there. I apologize. We've got to go. Have a good week. We'll see you next Saturday. Music here from a game on the Switch, Triangle Strategy. It's the main theme. Bye.